How much time do I have to read this?
As much as you like, he said. You just won't be allowed to leave the building until you do.
I took a seat on his couch and pulled out the papers. Did Brenton help you write the contract, or did you attempt to write it yourself?
I wrote it myself. Why?
I gave him a blank stare. Because you tend to put sarcasm and personal thoughts into every contract you write. That's why I always have to go over them long after you're done.
I think you'll be surprised,
he said, smirking.
I was pretty straightforward in this one.
My answer is still no.
For now.
The contract. 30-day service agreement. This service agreement, the agreement, dated this 20th day of October, 2017, between Nicholas A. Wolf of Wolf Industries, the boss, and Emily Nicole Johnson of Wolf Industries, the employee. Background. A. The boss is of the factual opinion that the employee has the necessary qualifications, experience, and abilities to provide temporary services via private arrangement. B. The employee is agreeable, at least she should be since her boss is being so goddamn generous, to providing such service to the boss on the terms and conditions set out in this agreement. The agreement is as follows. Services provided. 1. The employee hereby agrees to engage in a temporary engagement to her boss, which will last exactly 30 days. 2. This arrangement will include public appearances, media sessions with both national and local press, if necessary, and events with business associates. This arrangement will not include any sexual activity, wedding activity, and or any other activities that will make the signee uncomfortable. Term of agreement. 3. The term of this agreement, the term, will begin the second you sign this, as you should, immediately, and will remain in effect until the completion of services. 4. In the event that either party breaches a provision under this agreement, the non-defaulting party, me, more than likely since I'm actually loyal to the things I sign, may terminate the agreement and may seek reasonable damages against the other party. 5. Confidentiality. Both parties agree that they will not disclose, divulge, or reveal any information regarding this arrangement. We can negotiate the terms of you telling your sister. I've attached a separate sheet for that. 6. Performance. Both parties agree to do everything necessary to ensure that the terms of this agreement take effect. 7. Compensation. The boss will compensate the employee in the amount of $5 million. $5 million USD upon completion of the arrangement. The boss will also terminate the employee's current employment contract with Wolf Industries. The employee will compensate the boss with a verbal thank you. Thank you for agreeing to this outrageous financial demand and for hiring me when I had little to no experience. She will also sign the attached form confirming that, as of this morning, the boss has paid all her student loans and personal debts in full. You're welcome. In witness whereof, the parties have duly affixed their signatures and underhand and seal on this 20th day of October, 2017. The boss, Nicholas A. Wolf. The employee, Emily Nicole Johnson. The assistant, Emily. I signed that contract in 1 second flat. From page 6, Celebrity and Wall Street Gossip Magazine. Waves of shock, confusion, and utter surprise are rolling through the halls of every building that self-made billionaire Nicholas A. Wolf owns this morning. The former Bachelor of the Year recently announced his engagement to his longtime assistant Emily Johnson. The official company-wide memo, which was sent to thousands of employees, stated that he had fallen head over heels in love with a woman who has been at my side for 2 years. The Wolf Industries mogul offered no further comment on what led him to announce this heartbreaking decision for the millions of women in New York City. The Assistant, Emily. Day 1. I woke up in a cold sweat, feeling as if I'd made the biggest mistake of my life. There was a massive engagement ring on my ring finger, a stack of engagement announcements on my nightstand, and a flock of paparazzi outside my brownstone. Today was supposed to be the first of 30 for me and Mr. Wolf. Well, Nicholas, now that I was his fiancé, and I wasn't ready to embark on the insane itinerary that Brenton planned. He'd updated it multiple times, sometimes within the same hour, and he kept adding things that weren't necessary to land the Watson deal, at least in my mind. Sighing, I got out of bed and looked at the last edition of the itinerary I'd printed at my office. Subject: 30-day boyfriend, 30-day girlfriend. Some reminders. To the future Mr. and Mrs. Wolf, I'm including a short itinerary and some things I need you both to make sure you do while the press is watching, so we can make sure that we, A, convince Watson that Nicholas is a family man, B, reform Nicholas's image in the press as a former playboy instead of a current one, C, secure the $1 million bonus that was promised to me if we land this deal. Day 1-3. Fly to Nicholas's hometown of Blue Harbor and stay in the Four Seasons for a couple nights before staying in the Wolf family estate. Rehearse the How We Fell in Love story. I've sent you both multiple copies. Do a few interviews with the welcoming press. If you see cameras, kiss each other. If you don't see cameras, kiss each other. Try to look deep into his eyes each time, Emily. Oh, and Nicholas, try to lightly rest your hand on her ass when you're kissing, so this can seem like a hot relationship. Days 4-20. At some point, Mr. Watson will fly in, and he will want to A, play golf with Nicholas, B, have dinner with the Wolf family, C, get a tour of all the bed and breakfast villas that Nicholas's brother co-owns with Nicholas's mother, D, sign off on this damn deal we've worked on for months. Days 21-30. We'll return to New York, get a few more couple photos and interviews done for the press, if necessary. Day 31, amicable breakup. Please don't be late for your flight. Brendan East, Special Advisor to CEO of Wolf Industries. I debated whether I wanted to go through with this or not, if it was too late for me to back out. I told my sister I was still on the fence, even though I signed the contract without thinking twice. I scrolled down to Nicholas's name in my phone, but then I heard his voice in my living room. Opening my bedroom door, I saw him standing on the steps of my brownstone, shaking his head at my sister. He was wearing a gray shirt that clung to his muscles in all the right ways, and a pair of dark lounge pants that exposed the perfectly carved V below his hips.
"Where's Emily?"
he asked, impatient. "I'm Emily."
"You're a very good look-alike, Jenna."
"We're identical."
"Not to me."
He rolled his eyes.
"Where is she?"
"In her room." She let him in, betraying me within seconds.
"Where's her luggage?"
"Why don't you ask her?" Her eyes met mine, and she smiled. "Morning, Em." I shook my head and stepped out of my bedroom. "Morning, Jenna." "Nicholas."
"Where's your luggage?"
he asked. I shrugged.
"I know damn well you've packed for our flight, Emily,"
he said.
"Where is your luggage?"
"I've decided not to go."
"You really need to get better at reading the terms in the contracts you sign."
He looked around the room.
"I'm only going to ask about your suitcase one more time."
"I'm not going," I said. "The door is right behind. Did you tell your asshole boss that you changed your mind about the..." Mara, my sister's best friend, stopped short as she entered the living room. She looked Nicholas up and down, her cheeks reddening with every second that passed. "Well, damn, can I go in your place?" "You wouldn't want to," I said. Hating the way that Nicholas was staring at me right now had made me wet. "He's far worse than anything I've ever told you about on the phone."
"You have 20 minutes to get ready,"
he said to me. Then he extended his hand to Mara and then my sister.
"I'm the asshole boss, but I prefer to go by Nicholas."
"Pleasure to meet you," Jenna smiled. "Her suitcase is already packed. It's in the hallway closet." "What the fuck?" I looked at her in utter shock, completely taken aback by her betrayal. I am definitely not standing in for her at that meet and greet next month.
"Thank you,"
Nicholas said, walking over to the closet.
"I'll be waiting for you in the car."
He left, and I waited until he'd walked down the steps. Why the hell would you do that to me, Jenna? One, you've wanted to get out of your employment contract since the day you signed it, and you're going to get $5 million for doing this, she said. Two, it's only 30 days. And three, I think deep down you want to fuck him. And what better way to get that done than this? You're delusional. I headed into the bathroom. I really don't want to go anymore. Oh, please. You were grandstanding, she said, following me. That's why you bought a second plane ticket for later this morning. You just wanted him to think you weren't going because I personally think both of you have control issues. She put her hands on my shoulders. Emily Nicole Johnson, this is only for 30 days. If anyone can handle this, it's you.
The Wolf, Nicholas. Day 1. Subject, our flight. Have you somehow forgotten how to find your way back from the restroom? Our flight is boarding in an hour. Also, did you remember to bring the Wallace files? Nicholas.
Subject, re, our flight. I'm in the bookstore and will come back to the gate when I feel like it. I know it's been a while since you've flown with us regular people, but you don't have to wait at the gate for an hour if you don't want to.
I don't want to.
How could I forget them? You sent me 20 emails about them this week. Emily.
I groaned and placed my phone into my pocket. The second Emily signed that contract, something shifted between us and the sexual tension was higher than ever. We couldn't get through a single conversation without arguing, and we resorted to sending each other emails about the simplest things. Why are we not taking my private jet for this trip, Brenton? I looked up at him. We could have landed in Blue Harbor by now.
It's because Mr. Watson isn't a fan of exorbitant displays of wealth, and you want to come off like a man who hasn't forgotten where he came from.
He set down his magazine.
You'll survive the first-class cabin, I promise.
Where's Mrs. Wolf? Don't call her that. I rolled my eyes. She's in the bookstore.
Well, I hope you two were all smiles on the way here.
He lowered his voice.
I'm pretty sure a few lifestyle editors from Page Six caught wind of this trip and they're tailing you. That now means we have Town and Country, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Market Watch, who will be in and out of Blue Harbor while you two were there. So that means you and Emily are good, right?
I didn't answer him. Good was a far cry from the word I would use to describe us right now. When I picked her up this morning, after she'd finally come down to my car, she put a goddamn kitten onto my back seat, something I never fucking agreed to, and when I told her that she needed to leave it in New York, she refused to come unless I changed my mind. On the way to the airport, she became visibly upset when I told her she was still responsible for completing her work while we were engaged. She blatantly ignored me when I offered to stop and buy her breakfast, and when we arrived at the departures level, she damn near screamed when she saw me tossing her bag onto the security belt. I honestly forgot her damn cat was in that bag.
Good morning, Brenton.
She sat down in the chair across from us, holding the green-eyed kitten in her lap.
How's your morning?
It's pretty good thus far. I'm just a little behind on my...
He stopped and looked at us. Okay, no. He shook his head and faced me.
What did you do to her?
I haven't done anything to her. Yet. Look, Nicholas, in addition to the Page Six people, there are two feature editors from the New York Times on this flight. He lowered his voice.
On this flight. Now, granted, they'll be sitting several rows behind the two of you, but the last thing we need is for them to see the two of you arguing on your first day. I don't want that clouding their story. Please just apologize for whatever you said to Emily. Hell, try to use an endearment with it, so you can get used to saying it whenever you're around other people.
I cleared my throat and looked at Emily. I apologize for whatever you think I did to upset you, sweetheart.
You almost killed my cat.
She narrowed her eyes at me.
Apology not accepted, sweetheart.
The damn cat hissed, as if it understood what we were talking about.
Emily...
Brenton let out a breath. He's apologized in his own terrible way, so let's ignore him for the next few seconds.
There are editors from the New York Times on this flight, and I know you, of all people, know what that means. Can you pretend that you're letting this go and just be the bigger person?
Seeing as though I am always the bigger person, that's fine.
Great. He stood to his feet. I'm going to go grab a cinnamon bun from the coffee shop. Can I trust you two not to kill each other while I'm gone? We didn't answer. Okay, well, he sighed. Just don't talk to each other at all until I get back.
No problem,
we said in unison. He stepped away, and I glared at Emily as she glared right back at me. Then I slowly realized that these 30 days were going to be a lot harder than I'd originally thought.
The Assistant, Emily. Day 1. I should have never agreed to this arrangement. I was still glaring at Nicholas as he glared at me. I was tempted to leave him and his ridiculous business dealings behind, but my pride wouldn't let me. That and the promise of ending my employment contract. If he were my real fiancé, I would let my guard down and tell him that I was still feeling upset about how our engagement leaked to the press before I was able to spin a believable story to my coworkers. I would tell him about all the hurtful, she's not even that cute, and he's dated hotter women than her, posts from strangers I'd seen on social media. How I felt completely unprepared and overwhelmed by being thrust into the sudden spotlight with someone who was beyond used to handling it. The only silver lining in all of this was that my parents hardly ever watched the news or read magazines. I was clinging to the hope that they wouldn't find out about this charade until it was long over. Ladies and gentlemen who are assigned to Flight 6715 with service to Blue Harbor, we are about to begin the boarding process here at Gate A-17. I pulled my boarding pass out of my pocket and stared at the massive engagement ring on my left hand. I shook my head every time I looked at it because it was so over the top, gaudy, and unlike anything I'd ever consider wearing. It was a 4-carat diamond ring with glittering tiny pink diamonds stuffed onto its double band. I knew this arrangement was fake and temporary, and that the idea of Nicholas ever remembering that I loved emeralds was a long shot, but I was a bit miffed that he didn't, especially since I remembered almost everything that he'd ever mentioned to me. "Oh, great." Brenton walked over to us. "You're both still alive. No. The flight is only 4 hours, so can you try to keep the civility theme going without my supervision?"
"Wait, what? Aren't you sitting in the same row as us?" I asked.
"Ha, please." He laughed. "I don't fly commercial, ever. Besides, I have all the original and updated Watson contracts, and I need to keep them as safe as possible, don't you think? I only bought a plane ticket so I could see you two off together, but I'll still meet you at baggage claim when you land."
Nicholas shook his head at him. And I let out a sigh. It wasn't until now that I'd realized it, but Brenton had always been the perfect stabilizer between us over the years, the necessary tool that kept us from killing each other, or crossing the line.
"A reporter with Town and Country will serve as the first welcoming press in Blue Harbor," he said. "She'll have a few minutes with you on the way to the hotel, and we'll worry about Mr. Watson and an updated itinerary later."
"I would now like to invite all first-class passengers onto the aircraft at this time," the gate agent called over the speakers.
I tucked Luna into her bag and stood to my feet. I headed toward the boarding door, but Brenton suddenly grabbed my hand from behind, forcing me to spin around.
"Wait a minute," he said, pulling a box from his pocket. "I meant to send this one back to the jeweler. I forgot about it until just now."
He looked at Nicholas.
"Give her the right ring."
Nicholas pulled a red ring box out of his pocket and flipped it open. I bit my tongue so I wouldn't gasp, so he wouldn't get any reaction from me, but the one in his hand was exactly the type of ring I'd mentioned to him before. It was a bright emerald ring with miniature diamonds around its clasp, and it was surrounded by a simple silver band with my name etched onto the metal. I twisted the gaudy ring off my finger and exchanged it for the simpler one.
"Thank you, Brenton," I said.
"Don't thank me," he said, patting Nicholas on the back. "Thank your fiancé. He called the jeweler and personally requested that particular design all by himself. I'll see you two in Blue Harbor."
I muttered a soft "thank you" to Nicholas, and he muttered a
"you're welcome" in return.
We boarded the plane without saying another word to each other, and we both requested scotch before takeoff. As the alcohol burned its way down my throat, I decided to check my Wolf Industries email account one last time. Subject: I knew you were dating him. Subject: Seriously, after all this time you're marrying the wolf? Subject: Traitor, 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 traitor. Subject: Traitor. I misspelled it before. Traitor. I didn't bother opening any of them. I shut down my inbox and sighed. Is something wrong, sweetheart? Nicholas asked. I ignored him and asked the flight attendant for another shot of scotch. I downed it within seconds and plugged in my iPod as the pilot announced he was preparing for takeoff. As the plane ascended into the sky, I shut my eyes and tried to get some sleep. It was three songs later when I felt Nicholas gently pulling my left earbud from my ear. Yes? I opened my eyes.
I need to talk to you about something important.
No, I groaned. Whatever it is, I'm sure it can wait until we get to Blue Harbor. It's probably about work anyway.
It's about sex.
I sat up, half confused, half aroused. What?
I made some amendments to our contract last night, he said, pulling the stapled sheets from his briefcase. I need your signature so we can both ensure we're on the same page.
I gave him a blank stare, not wanting to ever look at that document that got me into this situation again. Mr. and Mrs. Wolf? The flight attendant stood in the aisle. Would you like something to... We're not married. We said in unison, cutting her off at the same time. Okay. She looked confused. Well, soon-to-be wedded couple who is listed with the same last name on my manifest, can I get you something to drink? I requested a scotch. He requested a ginger ale and coffee. He leaned over me and pulled out my tray. Then he set the contract onto it and flipped to the brand new intimacy clause he'd placed under the original clause number 2. The flight attendant set down my scotch, but Nicholas lifted it up and handed me the ginger ale instead. I leaned over and took away the sugar packet she'd given him with his coffee. Sliding my reading glasses over my face, I held the contract a bit closer. 2. This arrangement will include public appearances, media sessions with both national and local press, and events with business associates. This arrangement will not include any sexual activity, wedding activity, and/or any other activities that will make the signee uncomfortable. 2A. Intimacy Clause Amendment. The boss is allowed to engage in sexual activity if he finds a willing partner to whom he is sexually attracted during this term, and he will keep this activity private from the aforementioned press and the employee. The employee is not allowed to engage in sexual activity with anyone else, preferably ever, and she will notify the boss if she is ever tempted to step outside of this agreement and pursue contract-breaking relations. What the fuck? I was certain that I was reading this incorrectly, that there was a misprint somewhere between the first and last lines of all the bullshit, but after rereading it multiple times, I realized that he meant every word.
Here's the pen.
He placed it onto my tray.
Feel free to sign at any time.
Are you out of your fucking mind? I asked. The couple seated across from us gasped at my outburst. Nicholas, I lowered my voice. Please tell me that this is a joke.
Your cat resting beneath my feet right now is a joke.
He rolled his eyes.
This is the best way that we can get through these next few weeks without the tension getting any worse.
You can have sex, but I can't? How is that fair?
Because you haven't had sex since you broke up with that waste of a boyfriend you were seeing a year and a half ago. And seeing as though you always came into work with the ability to walk straight every morning, you've clearly never been fucked right, so this amendment doesn't really affect you.
Ugh! I pushed the contract to the floor and unbuckled my seatbelt. I moved the tray away and rushed to the restroom so I could scream in peace. Before I could shut the door, Nicholas stepped inside and locked the door behind him. Get out of the bathroom right now before I scream!
You won't.
He narrowed his eyes.
That's not your style.
Try me. He raised his eyebrow.
I can reword some of that clause if it bothers you this much.
There will be no sex for you or me during this entire ordeal. I know you're secretly dating Samantha Hendricks, the supermodel, i.e. Miss Private Phone Calls every Monday, but surely she's aware of our engagement by now. She can survive without swallowing your cock down her throat for a couple weeks.
I didn't know you had such a filthy mouth.
He trailed his fingers against my throat.
You have no idea what you're talking about in regard to Samantha, though.
I don't want to know. I felt another pang of jealousy in my chest. I'm not signing that clause, and I'd appreciate it if you would drop it. Forever.
You're making it very hard for me to be the bigger person right now.
You honestly think you're the bigger person?
He closed what little remained of the gap between us, pressing his chest against mine. Yes, I think I'm the only one who knows how to behave like an adult. You're a goddamn man-child, and I can't wait until this is over, so I'll never have to see your face again.
Is that so?
He slipped his hands around my waist, roughly splaying his hand against my hips and making my knees go weak. Yes, that is very so. His lips brushed against mine.
Well, that's quite unfortunate. I honestly don't want to argue with you for the entirety of the trip.
Then stop being an asshole.
Stop treating me like one. Unless...
His voice trailed off, and I was pretty certain that the hard, thick bulge that was now pressed against my thigh was his cock. Unless what? I whispered, feeling it harden even more.
Unless that's what you really think of me.
His lips were so close to mine that I could taste them. He looked as if he was about to kiss me, but a loud knock on the door made him pull back. Hey, guys. It was a female's voice. It's your flight attendant, and I know there are two of you in there. Please come on out. He let me go, and I opened the door. One out at a time. The flight attendant shook her head. There's no mile-high club on this flight. Nicholas motioned for me to go first, and I returned to my seat under the dimmed cabin lights. I buckled my seatbelt and placed the unsigned contract on Nicholas's seat. I made sure Luna was still okay, and then I plugged in my earbuds once more before trying to get some sleep. A few minutes later, Nicholas pulled out my left earbud again. Yes? I looked at him.
That wasn't the only clause I made an amendment to.
He smirked and handed me that damn contract.
Perhaps you'll agree to one of the others.
I looked down at the paper, saw the words, Second Intimacy Clause Amendment, just in case the employee rejects the first, and lost my shit. The Assistant, Emily, Day One. Yes, it's still Day One. I rushed off the plane once the flight attendant opened the door and slid a pair of shades over my face. The last thing I wanted the welcoming press to see was how pissed off I looked right now. I slipped into the closest restroom and splashed my face with cold water. I took several deep breaths and tried to calm myself down after hours of arguing with Nicholas. We literally argued the entire flight. If this was day one, there was no way I was making it to day 30. Hell, I would be lucky if I made it to day 10 at this rate. When I was sure I was calm enough to face the world again, I slung Luna's bag over my arm and left the restroom. Nicholas was standing in the hallway waiting for me. He looked as upset as I was, but he gently pulled my carry-on bag from my hands and rolled it by his side as we walked to baggage claim. During all the previous trips we'd taken together for business, there'd always been tension between us, but not like this. Never like this. At the baggage carousel, Brenton rushed over to us and clapped his hands.
Ah, there you two are, he said. Watson will arrive a little later than planned, since he wanted to spend a couple more days with his niece, so we have some additional time to prepare.
Where is the welcoming press? I asked.
They'll be here in a day or so. In the meantime, I have the town and country reporter waiting for you in the SUV. She wants to do a short prep interview before your more in-depth interview later this week. Are you up for that?
He didn't give us a chance to answer. Instead, he launched into another set of things we needed to do. Local events, interviews, staged photos. I tuned out his voice as we approached the dark-colored SUV. I offered my seat to the town and country reporter so I wouldn't have to sit next to Nicholas, but he slipped his hand around my waist and positioned me next to him anyway.
The Four Seasons, correct?
The driver asked.
Correct, Brenton said. Maya, you can ask as many questions that can fit into this 4-minute drive.
Thank you. She clicked her pen and smiled at Nicholas. Well, I guess I'll cut straight to the chase and start with you, Mr. Wolf. Given your previous reputation in Page 6, we were quite surprised to hear about your engagement. When did you know your fiancé was the one?
Ask me something else.
His voice was clipped. Her cheeks reddened. Sure.
Are there plans for a wedding as of yet?
I don't like that question either.
She glanced nervously at Brenton, who looked as if he was about to have a heart attack.
Well, can you give us a little insight on how you proposed to Emily?
I got down on one knee and asked her to marry me. She said yes.
Silence. Brenton let out a forced laugh and clasped the reporter's hand.
They've had a really long flight, and there was lots of turbulence. Can we pick up here during your assigned interview time slot? I can guarantee that he'll be far more upbeat by then.
Absolutely. She shut her notepad and looked down at her hands while Brenton glared at Nicholas. When the SUV pulled into the turnaround at the Four Seasons, the reporter rushed out of the car without saying a word. I started to get up, but Brenton shook his head at me. Then he asked the driver to get out so he could talk to us in private.
Okay, look.
His tone was firm.
I'm not sure what the hell has happened between you two over the past few days, but you need to get the hell over it and fast. You only had to put up with each other for 29 more days, and I would think that after working so closely with each other for 2 years, that this would be a fucking breeze.
He snapped his fingers.
There are $5 billion with a new CEO image, an employee termination contract, and my fucking $1 million bonus on the line. How hard could it be to pretend that you fucking like each other? Get it together. Now.
He opened the doors, and Nicholas helped me out of the car. Still not saying a word to each other, we followed the bellhop onto the elevator and took it straight up to the penthouse suite. When the bellhop left us alone, Nicholas sighed.
There are 4 bedrooms in this suite. You can have whichever one you like. Luna can have his own room if he would like as well.
Luna is a she.
Luna is a cat.
He rolled his eyes and took off his shirt, revealing his perfect set of 6-pack abs.
There's a small park outside if you want to take her there before we go to my family's house this week.
Will we have our own bedrooms there as well?
I doubt it.
He stepped into the bathroom suite.
We'll probably share my old room.
I'm not sharing a bed with you.
We'll see.
I shook my head and followed him. I need you to promise me that you'll sleep on the couch or... I hesitated when I stepped into the bathroom, noticing that he was now only wearing a towel around his waist.
Trust me.
He said, looking me up and down.
I'll sleep on my goddamn balcony if it means I won't have to argue with you. If I'd known you'd change so quickly after a proposal, I would have continued holding auditions.
You never proposed. I rolled my eyes. You wrote a contract, and you've changed as well.
My patience level hasn't.
You know what? I held up my hands in a show of surrender. I'm going to do my best to play this sweet, caring fiancé role for the remainder of our agreement. I'm going to continue being the bigger person.
That's what you really think you are?
He smirked.
The bigger person.
Why is he always so tempting when he smirks like that? Yes. I crossed my arms. I think I've always been the... The rest of my sentence stalled on my tongue as he dropped his towel to the floor. As I caught sight of his massive cock for the first time. I felt my jaw dropping as my mind attempted to make sense of what I was seeing. Oh my God, he's definitely 9 inches. I cleared my throat and tried to look away from him and his cock to pick up right where I left off, but I couldn't.
You were saying?
He asked.
Something about you being the bigger person in this relationship.
I couldn't get a single word to fall out of my mouth if I tried. I could only blush and stare. Noticing my speechlessness, he smiled and slowly picked up his towel.
For the record,
he said,
I'm always open to adding an intimacy clause with you.
He looked me over one last time and stepped into the shower. 29 more days. 29 more days.
The Wolf, Nicholas, Day 2. Subject, itinerary change plus your family. Nicholas, Watson would like to join you and Mrs. Wolf at your family's house as an overnight guest for a few days this week since all the Blue Harbor hotels are booked. I've told him you already said yes, so you're welcome. Also, I thought you said you wanted to take pictures with Emily today. Why did you text me that you don't want to do it until tomorrow? Email me back ASAP. Brenton East, Special Advisor to CEO of Wolf Industries.
Subject, from your mom, again, smiley face. Nicholas, I can't believe it takes you getting engaged to come home to see us. I'm sure your father is looking down and shaking his head in utter disbelief since, between you and me, he didn't think you would ever get married. Anyway, as I told you before, the house will be ready for you, your guests, and your lovely fiancé tomorrow. We've added two new additions that we can't wait to show you. Oh, and your brother has installed bear nets around the property to keep the paparazzi as far away as possible. I'm really looking forward to meeting your future wife. In fact, I'm avoiding all news reports, and I'm not talking about the occasion with anyone here, so I can size her up for myself. Love you and see you soon, Mom. P.S., I'm sure I'll love her, whoever she is, but a part of me is hoping it's your EA, Emily. P.S.S. Is it Emily?
It's way too early for this shit. I closed my inbox and got out of bed. I walked over to my bedroom windows and pulled the drapes open, catching the sun's slow rise above Blue Harbor's mountains. The only thing on my agenda today was making sure that everything back in New York was running smoothly, and that the other deals with the non-intrusive and non-family-oriented CEOs were still going through as planned. Out of habit, I did the first thing I did any other morning, scrolled down to Emily's name and called her.
Yes,
she answered on the first ring. At what point can I expect the morning updates? I looked at my watch. Do you want to give them to me on the balcony or in the living room?
Excuse me?
We talked about this, I said. I made it perfectly clear that just because we're engaged doesn't mean that you don't have to do any work. So do you want to give me the morning updates on the balcony or in the living room? She hung up in my face. She didn't answer my calls or my text messages for the rest of the day.
The assistant, Emily. Day 3. I tugged at the petals of a centerpiece, distracting myself from today's 10th interview. Since 7 o'clock this morning, I'd sat next to Nicholas in a cold conference room, answering questions for a revolving door of reporters. Most of the questions so far were about Wolf Industries, and I was hoping it would stay that way. The few that did address our personal lives were light and simple. Why send a company memo about the engagement? How long have you two been in love? Will you continue working for Mr. Wolf once you're married? I was only halfway paying attention to the questions at this point. I was still having a hard time getting the images of Nicholas's cock out of my mind. Last night, and the night before, I'd fantasized about him fucking me for hours, all while burying my fingers deep in my pussy and whispering his name into my pillow. Even though I'd been giving him the silent treatment since yesterday morning, I knew that being so close to him outside of the office was already becoming a problem. I'd never been so on edge, and he was driving my hormones into a heated frenzy.
Thank you two so much for your time. The reporter from the Wall Street Journal suddenly stood to his feet. I hope you'll allow my team and me another interview in a couple of months, after you're back from your honeymoon. Of course, Nicholas said, shaking his hand. Since I'm the last interviewer, can I take a picture of you two for my piece, sir? He asked. If it wouldn't be too much trouble, that is. That's up to the future Mrs. Wolf, he said, looking at me. She's been giving me the silent treatment since yesterday morning, so you may want to ask her.
I kicked him under the table and smiled at the reporter. I'd love to take a photo for your piece. The lighting is better outside, though. Do you mind if we step out there?
Not at all.
I shot Nicholas a look, and I stood up. As we walked to the door, he placed his hand on the small of my back, instantly setting my nerves on fire.
Where are you two going?
Brenton stood up from a bench as we stepped outside.
The Wall Street Journal wants to take our photo, Nicholas said. Oh, good. This is the perfect opportunity for you to finally kiss each other, then. I think that would be a great first photo, especially with this publication. Just make it look believable, please.
I don't think that's a good idea at all, I said.
And why is that?
Nicholas looked down at me. Because he said it needs to be believable. I lied, knowing it was a brilliant idea and that I wanted to do it. I also still need a few more days, actually weeks, to forget that you're my boss and an asshole.
Right here is good.
The reporter turned around and set up his tripod.
Could you two back up a bit and stand a little closer to the fountain? And sorry, Brenton, but I don't really need you in this one.
Nicholas kept his hand on the small of my back, and I forced a smile. The reporter adjusted his lens a few more times, and then he held up his fingers.
Snapping your picture in 3, 2...
Before he could reach 1, Nicholas spun me around and pulled me against his chest. He stamped his mouth over mine, kissing me so deep and suddenly I forgot to breathe. I murmured as he threaded his fingers through my hair to keep me close, as he silently coaxed me to open my mouth so he could take this kiss even further. Obliging, I parted my lips and he slipped his tongue deeper into my mouth. He never let me change the tempo, never let me gain control. His lips owned mine, and there was no sense in me trying to fight it. A soft moan escaped my mouth, and I wrapped my arms around his neck to keep my balance. I tried to ignore the feel of his cock hardening through his pants, but the more he kissed me, the tighter he held me against him. I was convinced he was seconds away from fucking me right here, right now, but he suddenly bit down hard on my bottom lip and tore away from my mouth. Then he whispered,
"I think that should help you forget that I'm your boss and an asshole."
Struggling to catch my breath, I looked over at the photographer and Brenton. Brenton was miming a round of applause and mouthing, "Bravo! Yes!" while the photographer was standing there open-mouthed as if he couldn't believe Nicholas had just done that.
"Did you get the shot?"
Nicholas grabbed my hand and walked me over to him.
"We'd be happy to do that again if not." "No, sir, I definitely got that." "Good."
He looked at Brenton.
"I think me and my fiancé are going to head to my family's house now." "Okay, sounds good. Your driver is all set to go with your luggage and Luna. I'll meet you two there in an hour, if you don't mind." "We don't."
Nicholas kept my hand in his as we returned to the hotel. He whispered for me to
keep looking straight ahead.
And we walked through the flashes and shuddering clicks of reporters' cameras in the lobby. Leading me to a waiting black SUV, he opened the back door for me and helped me inside.
"Emily?"
He said my name as the driver pulled onto the road. I didn't answer. I just kept my gaze forward. My heart was beating so loudly that I was sure he could hear it, and I knew my cheeks were still beet red. That was definitely the dirtiest kiss I've ever had.
"Emily."
He placed his fingers under my chin and gently turned me toward him. "Yes?"
"I need you to rescind your silent treatment for the rest of this trip. I know it's only been a day, but I'm not used to not talking to you for that long."
"Well, if that's how you truly feel, then I need you to at least say..." He pressed a finger against my mouth before I could finish.
"I'm sorry."
"What?" My eyes widened. I'd never heard him say those two words, whether he was in the wrong or not.
"I'm sorry,"
he repeated softly.
"I didn't mean what I wrote in the amendment, and you don't have to do any work while we're engaged. I also wasn't trying to kill your cat at the airport. I just don't want us to argue as much while we're here."
"So no more last-minute amendments?" I asked.
"Only if you'd like to address Clause 2 in regard to the two of us fucking."
He smirked.
"That's always on the table."
"Noted." I smiled as he took my hand in his again. "Apology accepted." Half an hour later, the SUV parked in front of a massive estate that was settled against the edge of Blue Harbor's trademark lake. The house was built in 3 huge parts, all connected by a glass walkway with a perfect view of the town. From what I could see from here, the backyard was acre after acre of lush green grass with roaming white horses. The driver began pulling our things out of the trunk, and Nicholas's mother, a gray-haired former beauty queen, walked out of the front door. "You're finally here." She wrapped her arms around Nicholas and hugged him tightly. "It's so good to see you. I thought you were going to make me wait another 5 years.
"I see you every week."
"A weekly video chat is not the same as a visit, Nicholas." She let him go and pulled me into a hug. "And you are marrying Emily," she said. "It is so nice to see you in person after only getting your emails and phone updates these past 2 years." She hugged me a bit tighter and whispered, "He talks about you all the time." I didn't get a chance to process her words. A piercing, loud, "Uncle Nicholas! Uncle Nicholas!" scream came from inside the house. Within seconds, a toddler dressed in all pink rushed through the front door and jumped right into his arms.
"I'm shocked she even remembers you."
His older brother Nathan leaned against the doorframe.
"It's not like you ever come home to see her. I just clear out my schedule to video chat with her every Monday."
Nicholas rolled his eyes, but he smiled at the little girl. She kissed his cheek and looked at me.
"I'm Samantha. What's your name?"
"Emily." I suddenly felt silly for assuming his Mondays were always clear for the other Samantha. "It's nice to finally meet you."
"I know."
She jumped down and peered into Luna's bag. Then she gasped,
"A kitty! Can I play with it, Uncle Nicholas?"
"We'll see."
Nicholas picked her up before she could open the latch.
"A little later. You want to help us get to our room?"
She nodded and began telling him about her day at school. Smiling, his mother motioned for us to follow her into the house. As she entertained Nicholas and Samantha's conversation, I held back a gasp each time we walked through a different room. This house is incredible. "Here's where you two will be staying." His mother opened the door to a massive suite with a lakefront view balcony. There was a king-sized bed right across from the windows, a seating area near the open doors of the bathroom, and a glass wall cabinet that was stocked full of wine.
"Emily, feel free to call me Liz. Let me know if you need anything once you get settled in," she said, taking a frowning Samantha from Nicholas's arms. "I'll have a light dinner and drinks waiting for you two in the kitchen whenever you're ready."
"Thank you," we said in unison, watching her walk away and shut the door.
"I'll take the couch as you requested," Nicholas said, "and you can have the bed. There's only one bathroom in this suite, but there's another one right down the hall. I'll give you a tour after you call your sister."
"What makes you think I need to call Jenna right now?"
"Because I've traveled with you on 27 other trips," he said, heading toward the door. "You tell her fucking everything minutes after it happens. So seeing as though I kissed you in public an hour ago, and your phone keeps vibrating with her signature ringtone, I think you should just get it over with."
He smiled and walked into the hallway.
"I'll be in the kitchen."
The Wolf, Nicholas, Day 4 and 5. I paced my balcony at 7 o'clock in the morning, completely restless. I hadn't been able to sleep since I woke up and saw Emily walking across our bedroom to the bathroom, bare-ass naked, again. At first I thought it was a one-time accidental thing, but this last instance was her fifth time within the same hour. She looked over her shoulder each time, right at where I was on the couch, and smiled. Her body was even sexier than I thought, and that was a problem. I'd been restraining myself as best I could ever since that staged kiss with the photographer. But if she kept this shit up, I wasn't going to last too much longer. I wonder what her pussy tastes like. I contemplated the thought for several minutes, then I continued to pace across the balcony. The main reason why I couldn't sleep was quite obvious, though. I was still wired to the time on Wall Street, still used to waking up at 6:30 and starting a day that didn't end until 11:30. I wasn't used to starting this many mornings in a row without the sight of Emily walking into my office in one of her attention-grabbing dresses or hearing the raspy sound of her voice over the phone saying, "Good morning, Mr. Wolf. I have the updates for you." I was dreading the string of new executive assistant interviews that Brenton was lining up for me when we returned to New York. If his selection of eligible candidates in the past was any indication, I was better off staying in Blue Harbor forever and letting my niece run Wolf Industries on my behalf. I debated whether I should call my secretary and assign her the job of piecing together my updates for today, but the sight of Emily stepping out onto the balcony in her robe made me lose my train of thought.
"Good morning, Mr. Wolf."
She smiled at me as she held up her cell phone.
"I have today's updates for you."
"I told you that you didn't have to work while we're engaged."
"Well, seeing as though I can't sleep with you out here mumbling my goddamn updates to yourself, I figured this would be best for the both of us."
"I'm listening."
"The Claxton, Yarbrough, and Hamilton deals were all confirmed with flying colors by the board. The finalization papers will be sitting on your desk when you get back, unless you're that impatient, and you want me to have someone ship it here overnight for your signature."
I don't think I'm that impatient.
Good.
She swiped her screen.
So you won't care that I already booked a flight for an intern to fly them here for you today?
I smiled.
Your CFO has held 4 meetings with the market team as of today, but none of them were essential.
She swiped her screen again.
Your PR team is working overtime on the Hensley project, and at some point this week, you'll need to glance over the hard copy of the updated Rand and Cross proposal that I'll have airmailed here once it's completed.
Rand and Cross accepted my first bid?
They did.
She moved her phone away and motioned for me to follow her back into our suite.
Oh, and the annual Wall Street Charity Gala has confirmed that you'll be receiving an honor. So expect a visit from your tailor on your first day back in New York.
Thank you, Emily. I resisted the urge to fuck her on the spot and returned to the couch.
You're very welcome, Mr. Wolf. Unfortunately, you'll have to find one hell of a replacement over the next few weeks.
It's very unfortunate. Is there any way I can convince you to work for me past this contract? You could consider staying for the full 4 years of your original contract.
I don't think so.
What about one more year? Double pay?
Never.
Then what about you stop fucking with me by walking across this room ass naked every hour in the middle of the night?
Why? Are you feeling tempted to kiss me?
I'm feeling tempted to fuck you. The Wolf, Nicholas, Day 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. My brother. Brenton put you up to this sudden fake family visit shit, didn't he? My brother.
Just be fucking honest with me. Are you and Emily real, or is this another Brenton Wall Street production for a soulless business deal of yours? Give me your phone,
Emily said, reaching for it as I deleted the latest text from my brother.
We're supposed to be rehearsing the story about how we fell in love today, and all you've done is check your messages.
All you've done is lounge on my boat for 4 days straight. I set my phone down and looked at her. She was sprawled on the floor in a bright red sundress, halfway watching Samantha tease Luna with a blue yo-yo right across from us.
Me spending 3 days on your boat is not the point, Nicholas.
Then what is?
Watson will be here tomorrow.
She adjusted her shades.
And you need to make a good impression so you can close the deal.
I'm aware.
Do you already have our love story memorized then?
Not at all, I said. I am going to wing it.
So you do have it memorized?
She laughed and lay on the floor of the boat again, looking up at the sky.
I look forward to hearing your dramatic interpretation.
I stared at her as the sun's rays shone against her face. Against my better judgment, I took a few photos of her with my phone. I need to ask you something, I said.
I'm listening.
What made you think I was dating Samantha Hendricks?
It was all over page 6 and everyone was talking about it.
What were they saying?
The usual,
she said, her voice soft.
That you were clearly in the running for Bachelor of the Year again and that she was another supermodel notch on your belt.
How interesting.
Is it?
She rolled over on her stomach. It is.
Is it true?
No. I moved down to the floor, pulling her between my legs. Surely you knew that already.
You had quite the reputation when I came to work for you,
she said.
I wouldn't be surprised. You can travel whenever and wherever you want, and you can date whoever you want.
Name one trip over the past year and a half where you weren't with me. I trailed my finger against her lips. Then name a time when I've mentioned dating someone else to you.
Well, that doesn't mean anything, but...
She was quiet for several minutes.
I honestly can't think of one.
Because there honestly isn't one. I pulled her close and kissed her until long after sunset, wishing we were on this damn boat alone.
The Assistant, Emily, Day 10. My lips were still swollen from the way Nicholas kissed me on the boat yesterday. I was hoping he would finally give in to my not-so-subtle walks to the bathroom in the middle of the night, but all he'd done was playfully slap my ass on my return trip to the bed and laugh. Tonight, unfortunately, was the start of true business. We were currently sitting across from his mother, his brother, and Brenton, as our guest of honor, Mr. Watson, told the most boring story I'd ever heard. He arrived in Blue Harbor yesterday, and he'd instantly taken control of this trip. He took Nicholas golfing in the morning. I could tell a lot about a businessman by the way he golfs. Treated me and Liz to a private brunch,
I want to talk to the two women who know the man behind the deal,
and insisted on a tour of Blue Harbor via boat because he just wanted to see if Nicholas was a true sailor. He was.
So then I turned to my CFO and said, I don't think so.
Mr. Watson ran his hand through his graying hair.
That's my family day.
Brenton let out a forced laugh, and the rest of us just stared at him, unsure if that was the end of his never-ending story or the unfortunate prologue for another.
If you'll excuse me,
he said, standing up from his chair.
Is there a place I can smoke my cigar before dessert? Me too.
Brenton stood as well.
I'll show you two to the landing, Liz said, lifting Samantha from her chair.
She walked by me and lowered her voice.
Do you mind if Luna sleeps with Samantha tonight? She wanted me to ask you.
I don't mind. I smiled. I'll be right back, and we'll get to dessert then. She led the men far down the hall, and Nathan cursed under his breath.
So, is this the part where we're supposed to continue serving as your props for this Watson dude?
Nathan tossed his napkin onto the table.
You never answered my emails about this trip, Nicholas, and I don't ever plan to. Then I guess I was right.
He stood up from the table.
Our father would be ashamed of you right now, just so you know. He's probably rolling around in his grave, beyond disappointed in what you've become. What exactly have I become? Another fucking suit?
He looked at me.
If you'll excuse me, I think I'll pass on playing the role of the loving big brother tonight. I suggest you do the same, Emily. I'm sure he dragged you into this bullshit pretend show somehow.
He left the house and slammed the door on his way out. Nicholas clenched his jaw and squeezed my hand under the table. Do you need to get some air? I asked. He didn't answer. He remained still, squeezing my hand every few seconds, cursing in between. By the time Brenton, Liz, and Watson returned to the table, he'd snapped back into business mode.
What day do you want me to look over the final paperwork again, Mr. Watson?
He didn't even bother asking Liz and me to step away while they discussed things.
I won't be in Blue Harbor too much longer, and I'd like to spend more time with my fiancé. Of course, he said. Well, I really haven't had that much time to look over all the paperwork. You've had over 6 months.
Nicholas and I muttered softly in unison. Brenton shot us both a look from across the table.
Well, I guess I could take the next 5 or 6 days to look at them. I'll just need you to come golfing with me a few more times so I can make sure I'm making the right decision.
Nicholas refrained from rolling his eyes.
Whatever you like, Mr. Watson. Oh, well, one thing I would like is a story from you. A story? Yes, the story of how you and the lovely Miss Emily fell in love.
He crossed his arms.
That says a lot about a man as well. It was love at first sight,
Nicholas said.
The end. What was that? I couldn't quite hear you. Give me one second.
He looked at me and lifted the glass of wine from my hands, handing me a glass of water. He lowered his voice.
Is this your third or your fourth one?
Fifth. He glanced at his watch, and then he cleared his throat.
I fell in love with Emily when...
When we were working in Paris on a new project. Stick to the script. Stick to the script.
It was one weekend in particular when it started,
he said.
It was a Friday night, and we were working late during a snowstorm. It must have been 1 o'clock in the morning by the time we realized it, since there was a winter weather advisory for like 3 days. I told her she was welcome to take my bedroom in my penthouse, and I would sleep in my living room.
I turned to face him as he spoke. This wasn't the story that Brenton made us rehearse at all. This was something that had actually happened between us. Something that was pretty damn recent.
She...
He paused, smiling.
She insisted that she stay in the living room with me because she'd heard about my past reputation. So we spent the entire night talking about absolutely nothing in front of my fireplace while watching the snow fall over New York.
In the morning you made me breakfast.
In the morning I made her breakfast, and we spent the second day locked inside. But later that day we did sit on my balcony. In the middle of a snowstorm?
Mr. Watson asked.
Why? It was her idea,
he said.
After I gave her a tour, she told me that she couldn't believe I hardly ever used my balcony. Then she said,
How many people can say they've had hot coffee on top of New York in the middle of a snowstorm? You have to do it with me.
How many people can say